Rich Hoffman from The Athletic on the Comcast Business Hotline. Rich, how you doing today?
I'm good, Mike. It's been a busy 24 hours.
It has. The Sixers finally hired a GM. So what's the line on Elton Brand being hired?
Well, I think it was predictable because for the entire summer, Brett Brown and Josh Harris, they made it clear that they valued the top of their front office. And for a lot of the summer, they didn't really seem dead set on getting moving. So I think working within that structure and with a coach who, by all accounts, is going to have a pretty big voice in things, it just seems like they put enough conditions on this job where it was always likeliest that the promotion was going to come from within.
So, in other words, an independent guy who may have wanted more control was not what they favored.
It just seems unlikely. I know they brought in a couple of these guys, but they were very dead set on how much they valued the top of their front office. And yeah, I think in most cases, established outside candidates would want to bring in some of their own people.
All right, that's good because now everybody's comfortable. Brett Brown's comfortable. I didn't get the sense he was that comfortable with when Colangelo was there. But let me ask you about Elton Brand because there are two ways to look at it. One, he's an experienced player who still has connections with players, still, I think, can recognize who can play and who can't because of the longevity he had in the league. But he's been fast-tracked. And a lot of people saying that's too soon to jump for this guy. Now, how does that manifest itself? With all the other assistants they have, is this too fast of a jump for Elton Brand?
That's something I think is a completely valid concern. And yes, like you said, they have a big infrastructure. They have assistants upon assistants who will help him with the day-to-day stuff. But the Sixers are in win-now mode right now. I think you can argue that Elton Brand's most important 10 months in his tenure could be right now. So it's not necessarily something where I think you can argue he can learn on the job or he can grow into it. He has to be pretty good right away. And it's pretty unusual for GMs with 1 year of experience. Like, I think last year at this time, he was being introduced as the Sevens GM. And, you know, he's talking about, I got to learn how to do all this stuff. I got to learn how to talk to agents. I got to learn, you know, how to run a team. And now 365 days later, he's the guy.
All right, so
I think that's concerning.
Why is it so hot a time for him right now to be the GM? What are the things that he's going to have to implement right away?
Well, I just think if you look at the Sixers schedule, they'll have one more offseason where they'll have max cap space or something like it. So this is their real chance to add to that Embiid-Simmons core because, you know, two summers from now, that's when Ben Simmons and Dario Saric, that is when their numbers will go up, and that'll be a point where they can't land somebody in free agency. Maybe they'd be able to get somebody in a trade, but it'd be a lot harder at that point.
We're talking to Rich Hoffman of The Athletic. Rich, is Elton Brand in a position because of his lack of experience, where he can overrule a guy like Brett Brown, who has kind of building a team his own way?
It's a great question. And I think if you have to look at it, first off, Brett Brown was part of the group that selected Elton Brand. When he interviewed, he was part of that. Like it was the owners and it was Brett Brown. And yesterday, Brett Brown had this big media lunch in, and he also referenced this kind of confusing organizational chart that I guess they're going to throw out tomorrow. I don't know, like, are they going to have like a PowerPoint presentation with everything and, you know, pointing to who's right below the owners? I don't know, but I'll be interested in what they say because Brett Brown, I mean, he's had a taste of being the guy in charge. And I know, you know, he's differentiated. He says, I know it's two different jobs, doing, you know, the legwork of a GM, the scouting, you know, the meeting with the analytics people. That's a different job, but my question is, how much of a final say will he have at the end? Because that, to me, really is who the GM.
Yeah, that's the key, and you're not going to get an answer out of it because they keep hiding behind this collaborative effort, which means nothing when push comes to shove. And it almost seems like this is a Belichickian situation. Well, yeah, the Patriots have a GM, but basically Belichick's the guy. And I wonder if Brett Brown is essentially Elton Brand's boss here.
I think it's a perfectly fair thing. And I think, you know, if I had to guess, he probably would have more power. I'm not exactly sure how that'll work out. But my thing, too, is even if it's, you know, some confusing amount of power, like if Elton Brand and Brett Brown are on the same level and then maybe somebody else has some say, if you don't have, like, a clear-cut boss, I'm not sure it's the best way to go about it, even if I do respect Brett Brown and Elton Brand's basketball knowledge, because I do.
Yeah, well, I hope the collaborative effort comes out where they, you know, it's like the jury poll, and you know, they go that way, or Brett Brown has the final say. That's going to be really the interesting part of that. By the way, at this luncheon, did you grab yourself a steak at this luncheon? Because I remember the old days, you used to have it at the place on City Line. I immediately went for the New York Strip. But what did you go for?
They did not have steaks. I stuck to the apps. You know,
you went apps.
Calamari. I enjoyed that.
Okay. All right. Now, in this luncheon, he revealed some things about Markelle Fultz, but I've got some conflicting things that he's been able to say. He said he took about 150,000 shots this summer, which to me is numerically impossible. But it's 1,054 shots per day, I guess. 1,154 shots per day. But then he also says there are times where he sees the shot is not in pure form. So which is it here with Markelle Fultz?
The 150,000 shot number was certainly something that stuck out. It seems high to me as well. To me, it was a confusing answer, but to me, it seemed like he was trying to set the expectations lower, just because so much of what Markelle Fultz dealt with seemed to also be a confidence issue. So if you set the bar a little bit lower, I think, you know, when you watch him play and maybe it's not all the way fixed, things will go a little better. To me, I do think, like, as long as he's seeking out shots, because it was jarring last year to see him pass up wide open 15 footers. Mm-hmm. That when you saw this guy at Washington, he was making that shot in his sleep. And he was making it with guys draped all over him. So as long as he's kind of, you know, it seems like he's worked on the mechanics and he's at least more aggressive and not, you know, passing up wide open shots, that would be a decent step. But like everybody else, I'm curious to see what it looks like.
Yep. All right. Finally, Jimmy Butler wants to be traded. He wrote down a list of teams he wants to be traded to. The Philadelphia 76ers are not on that list. This is where I think Elton Brand could pay some dividends here. You think the Sixers could be interested in him?
Yeah, I think they'll definitely kick the tires. The report that Brooklyn, New York, and the Clippers are the teams that he wanted to move to, that kind of signals to me he wants to be the man in a big market.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there are some concerns with Butler in that he has played a lot of minutes while, you know, the rest of the league is embracing sports science. Tom Thibodeau is playing him Allen Iverson minutes, you know, 45 minutes a game. And, you know, so he does have some tread on his tires. And obviously he's gotten into some not altercations, but there's been some friction between him and some of his teammates. That's a little bit of a problem. But, you know, the fit is undeniable, and the talent upgrade would also be undeniable. Jimmy Butler, mm-hmm. He's the two-way wing the Sixers are looking for. And, you know, I'm not sure if he's somebody that you'd want to give a five-year contract to at the age of 30, but, like, if he was on the Sixers this year, I think their outlook definitely changes.
Last question. Of the roster right now, who are some guys that might not be on it from last year?
I don't understand like in a trade or something like that?
No, I mean, just might not make the team, might not be on the roster. Does T.J. McConnell make the team? Does Bayless make the team? You know, guys like that, who's the most likely not to be with the Sixers?
Gotcha. To me, Jared Bayless would be the guy because he wasn't in the rotation at the end of last year. And I asked Brett Brown about that yesterday, and he said he wants him to come in and fight for his roster spot. I think the only reason that he might still be on the team is that the Sixers might try and acquire somebody at the trade deadline, and Bayless has, you know, a decent salary that you could match in a trade. But in terms of, like, what he offers on the court, T.J. McConnell is better than Jared Bayless. Okay. So I don't really see why he's on the team.
All right. Sounds good. Rich, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, man.
Appreciate it. There's Rich Hoffman, The Athletic, who wrote the story today. On Elton Brand being hired.